Podcast Fresh.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Podcast Fresh Cafe. This is the 84th show in the franchise. I like wording that. I'm going to word it like that from now on.
Wow.
It's a franchise. I am your host, Ryan Mello, a.k.a. Acapello. And, of course, I am joined by my co-host, as always, Chris Torres. Chris, say hi.
Hey, what's up, everybody? What's up, Ryan?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
He's good. Yeah, today we got a big show. We got a lot to talk about. We might as well open up with what happened last week, which was the Oscars. Or was it this week? Earlier this week. My timelines are blending. Chris, did you watch the Oscars?
No, I scrolled through it, so I saw some of the highlights, but that's about it.
Sick, he scrolled through it.
You know, sometimes, you know, it's one of those shows that I would watch every year.
Me too, yeah.
And then I just kind of fell off, which is funny because a lot of people have fallen off. It was one of the most declining, I guess, shows in terms of ratings and things like that up until I think last year, the year before. It just started not coming back, but it wasn't dropping as much as it used to. But you know, they have to try to find a way to make these award shows engaging and sort of something to go out of your way to see, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of fell off. I think people, I mean, these award shows, I mean, for the most part, it's just a popularity contest. It's I think for a long time, people have realized that these don't really mean anything. Like, yeah, it's an honor to get it if you're in the industry and all that. But I think ultimately it's like all art is subjective. And, you know, what necessarily wins movie of the year, if I saw all the movies of the years that got nominated for this year, I probably wouldn't agree with whoever won movie of the year. You know, like it's all subjective. It's all a ballot. And I think that's why people care less and less about it. But also there's the internet, and people like you and me can just peruse it after and see who won and not really attend to the viewership numbers. So there's that too. I'll be honest, the only thing I ever saw, that I saw on the Oscars was Emma Stone's acceptance speech, which was equally heartwarming and funny and honest, which was cool. But yeah, that was it. I don't know. I didn't really watch any of the movies that came out this year to be nominated. I heard there was a Batman thing that you could probably talk about a little bit, because I think you saw that. I didn't watch that.
They did a spot where Arnold Schwarzenegger came out with Danny DeVito, and they did a spot where they're basically complaining about how they each had something in common, that they both tried to take down Batman, but that they failed. And so, you know, DeVito goes, yeah, he threw me through a glass window. I still haven't forgotten. And then he goes, how did he get you? And Schwarzenegger says that, I think something along the lines of like my most vulnerable thing or whatever it was. And he goes, what was that, heat? He goes, no, love. And so everybody got a good laugh. And then they found Michael Keaton in the crowd, and they kind of just focused the camera on him. And he just looked, he was Batman in that moment, ready to fight these two guys. So it's pretty awesome.
Oh, damn.
Again, it's little things like that that they're trying to think outside of the box in order to get more eyeballs onto, I guess, the show. And I thought, you know, if you're going to do stuff like that, make it clever, make it something that's going to go viral, I guess, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And then for best, I think for best wardrobe, John Cena came out with nothing but an Oscar card.
Okay.
And it was supposed to like mimic like one of the streakers from like several years back or whatever. But
he came out
in nothing except the Oscar card, which is kind of funny. So that was another one of the stunts. And then for the main event for Best Picture, they gave it to Oppenheimer. Al Pacino came out and to give out the Oscar, and he got a standing ovation. But the funny slash awkward thing is, rather than go through the nominees, he just went straight to the winner. He just announced the winner. Yeah, so there's a little bit of awkwardness there with the presenting of that award. But there you go.
I mean, that was obviously a mistake, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened, but he was supposed to go through the nominations, and he just went right to the winner.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still got to watch Oppenheimer. I got to say, that's probably the one that I probably am the most interested in watching from last year. The fact that it won best movie is kind of not surprising. I know that Robert Downey Jr. also won his first Oscar for that movie, which, man, it's insane. Like, guys like that, that have been around for a really long time, you would just kind of assume they have one. But
yeah,
it takes years sometimes to get that. That's crazy.
Yeah, the award is very important to the actor. Just in terms of from that point forward, you're sort of, you know, in terms of where you are with building and things like that, you're always going to be billed as Academy Award winning, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even to be nominated is like a huge, I guess, prestige, a big title to get. So just being nominated sometimes brings you up to that sort of next level when it comes to marketing and things like that. But yeah, I thought he'd won for something, but no, it was his first time winning.
Yeah, best supporting actor.
Yeah, and Leonardo DiCaprio only has one Oscar as well.
And that took a while, too.
That took a long while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, just tons of people only have, like, one award. And some you know, obviously, many of them have zero, but it's just interesting to see, like, some of the bigger names that have only won, like, one time.
Yeah, I believe Emma Stone is being hailed as, like, what's the record? Like, it was, like, second... the actress of her generation to get a second Oscar in a row. Like, I guess that wasn't done yet. I think she got one for La La Land, right? La La Land. That broke a lot of records. I remember when that came out.
Right.
With Gosling.
What do you mean in a row?
Well, she got it last year.
For La La Land? No.
Wasn't it last year?
I don't think that was last year. Was it?
Okay, maybe it's just... two Oscars in general. Maybe it isn't even in a row, to be honest. Because now I think about it, yeah, I think La La Land was like 2022.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, anyway, just an actress to get two Oscars in her generation. I guess that's the record. But, yeah.
Just like a modern record?
A modern record, yeah. Because obviously it's been done, you know, before.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I did not really see the show aside from just like the stunts that were pulled, you know, and the little awkwardness and things like that happened.
That's usually what makes the highlight reels.
Yeah, for sure, right? I mean, that's kind of the stuff that makes it go viral, the things that gets the clicks. But it'll be interesting to see how many people tuned in this year once the final numbers come out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, the Oscars. We'll see you guys next year when you come back and present more awards. Okay, Chris, let's do the mailbag. But before we do the mailbag, you got to give out the plugs.
Yeah, join us on Instagram at... Podcast Fresh, as well as Facebook and YouTube. And we are also have a mailbag, which you can send an email at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com.
Very nice. Did you say mailbaggy?
No.
I heard mailbaggy.
That's you.
That's me. Okay, number one, I recently saw Madam Web. I know I shouldn't have, but I had a glimmer of hope for whatever reason. Anyways, they've officially announced the title for Venom 3. It's called Venom the Last Dance. Do you think that this universe has any hope of working out in the end? This is, of course, we're talking about the Sony universe for Spider-Man, but it doesn't have Spider-Man in it. Yeah, this is crazy. Venom 3 is, I guess, in the movies that they have in this universe, Venom 3 is going to be the sixth one. They got Venom 1, Venom 2, Morbius, Madam Web, and now this one. I don't know. Like, it's like, as a Spider-Man fan, it's very like hard to watch this train just keep crashing into itself. Madam Web, I saw so many reviews. I kind of was interested just for the fact that like maybe this is how they're gonna blend in all the universes and all that, or at least kickstart the events of that. And then there was also talk about there was a Spider-Man in it, but then they pulled out, and then they put the other Spider-Man in it, then they pulled out. Like, they didn't know who to go with. It was ridiculous. And then I heard reviews of this movie, so I know everything that happened in it. And it just sounds like a mess. From what I gathered, Madam Web was kind of like, if it was shot in 2002, it would be kind of like fine. Like, it feels like an old movie the way it's shot. And the time that it's in is in 2002. So I don't know. Madam Web's a train wreck, but even given that, Venom was always a successful series, I think. I think the first Venom made a lot of money. The second one, I think, made a lot of money, but not as much. And the third one's probably not going to make as much as the second one. But I feel like this series has garnered a bit of a fan base that will actually go watch Venom, you know, the third Venom movie, but probably didn't watch Morbius or Madam Web. I don't know. I don't think it has any hope, but I think the minute they decide to finally pull the trigger on putting, whether it's Andrew Garfield, whether it's Tom Holland, whether it's Tobey Maguire, once they decide to do something with those three or one of those three, interest will of course start building for this universe. But I don't know what the point of all that is if all you're doing right now is establishing villains that aren't supposed to be. You're trying to make us feel bad for these villains. They're anti-heroes, even though most of them are not supposed to be. Like, they're just straight up villains, and it's just a weird take. It's a weird choice. And I think at the end of the day, they're just doing this to keep the Spider-Man rights. They have to make these movies to in order to keep the rights, because I feel like if they don't make them every 2-3 years, they might lose them. I don't know. But yeah, Venom 3, I'll probably check it out. I've watched the last two, and I don't know. I enjoy them for what they are, but I don't think they're great. But yeah, do I think it has any hope of working out in the end? No, not really.
In terms of what working out in the end?
Like, will this, like, are all these crappy movies, I guess is what they're asking, worth it in the end? Like, are they going to somehow pull, like, some kind of Avengers level movie where this all makes sense and it was all worth it? That's how I'm taking
absolutely
this question.
Not. Absolutely not. No.
Shut it down, Chris.
There's a slight bend to your argument. I think you were arguing to a certain point about the quality of the movie, and then you switched that up, and now you're talking about money. Those are two different conversations. If you want to talk about money, you know, Madam Web is, I think it's cleared $100 million right now, right, on a budget of $80 million. So, I mean, it's technically not in the black, because if you think about, you know, all the marketing fees and, you know, the commercials and things like that, the press, the marketing, all that stuff takes a lot of money. But it's hard to say, right? And then you have movies that have made, you know, $200-$400 million, but have been critically panned, right? So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think any of these movies are working. I think there's just comic book hero fatigue right now. I don't think there's any comic book movie that people are going crazy about, you know. Deadpool 3 is going to be fun, don't get me wrong, you know.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, aside from that, I really don't know what another Ant-Man, you know, like I'm not sure what you can do here. And no, they've realized that you know, expanding these universes and focusing on different characters to bring them back together for a final dance, there's just too much time and too much risk in something like that, you know. But from the reviews I've seen about this thing, I mean, it's you know, 12% Rotten Tomatoes, 3.7 IMDb, 26% Metacritic. Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney, for the most part, get decent decent reviews on their specific way that they played the characters.
Yes.
But it's got a very sort of television, Disney sort of look to the whole thing, which kind of might go in tone with how they're trying to just sort of vanilla everything, you know what I mean, and make it more appealing to as many people as possible. But, you know, when you look at a director like S.J. Clarkson, I'd never heard of her, so I clicked on her name. And this is the first time she's ever directed a movie. She's never directed a movie before. She comes from the land of TV. Mm. And she's directed episodes and TV shows that I've watched, like Heroes, House, Dexter, most recently Succession, one of your favorites, Ugly Betty, and then two episodes of Jessica Jones, which is crazy to think
that. That show's awesome.
Which is crazy to think that Jessica Jones was 2015. Dude, that's 9 years ago. That's crazy.
God, that's horrible, bro.
That's just like an aside. Like, man, that's a long time. It feels like I was watching that show like 2 years ago. But
yeah,
she's also done Orange is the New Black, an episode on there. So she has a television background. But here, obviously, given the big budget of $80 million and put probably under a lot of pressure, I would imagine, from the executives and the writers and all the creators and everybody else. I wonder if she's just a scapegoat, you know. But the funny part is that how sort of everybody sort of distancing themselves from this movie. Like, I was watching like Dakota Johnson and Sydney Sweeney just being like, hey, you know, like, we're trying our best, and you know. You know, you could tell they were not hardcores or even read up all that much on the source material, but, you know, they got paid, you know, money to be in these movies, and they're kind of sticking with that excuse, which is fine. Like, I completely get that. But it's just so funny to see your two main actors kind of open up that way about what kind of a train wreck this was.
I mean, they also, I saw an interview where they were promised, or they were told at least, that this is part of the MCU when it's clearly not. And right. They were misled in that way, which is nuts. And then, you know, Sydney Sweeney, I saw her host SNL, and she made that jab where she said, "You probably saw me in Euphoria, but for sure you did not see me in Madam Web."
Right.
It's like, holy shit. And Dakota Johnson also stated, like, "I'm never doing anything like that again." So I don't blame the actors. I don't blame the directors. It's just, this is just another jab at the stupid Sony company over there that are like just making these for no goddamn reason. That's what I just take it as. I don't blame any actor in these things. I don't blame any producer or anything.
In the right scenario, I will blame them for sure. But yeah, I will say this. I don't know how bad Madam Web is because I haven't seen it, but you know, remember I saw Morbius and I didn't think that was, I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't, you know, I'm itching to just grab my phone and just distract myself while I watched it. It's like, no, I watched the whole thing. I thought it was a really stupid movie, but, you know, like one second he's embracing his like brother or whatever. And then the next second he's like trying to put a stake through him. It's just a little bit ridiculous, but yeah, I think all these movies are on the decline, man. I think we're moving on to the next thing. I don't know what the next thing is, but I just think there's just comic book fatigue. Everybody's just tired of these movies, and I think you can Spider-Man your way up to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's not really going to matter. Like, you guys, the marks, you're going to go no matter what, but
That's not true, because I didn't go.
But I think, you should have gone, because you're a hardcore, right? I watch everything. Mr. What's that other one that's coming out? Hunter, the lizard guy or whatever?
Oh, Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, Kraven the Hunter. Hunter, the lizard
but
man.
But I'm not paying for that. I'm not supporting it like that.
Yeah.
There's no way.
No, but still, it doesn't matter. Oh, I'm gonna pirate it. But you get what I'm saying, right? Like, you'll go out and watch it, right? But what they should be trying to do is get me, the casual guy, the guy that's like, no, I don't care. Aside from the three main Spider-Man or four or whatever, not really interested in seeing anything else. There should be something there to hook me. What they've tried in the past is, you know, the cameos by this or cameos by that person. But even the cameos are kind of, it's like hot-shotting in wrestling, right? Where you bring somebody special back for one day.
It's cheap.
Even in Morbius, you know, Michael Keaton the other day, he was like, yeah, I have no idea why they they made me do a cameo there. I was told to do it. I don't know why, but there you go, right? It makes no sense if you start thinking about it now. Aside from, well, the studio shifted and went in a different direction or whatever, right? Kind of makes no sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I really think there is a comic book movie just fatigue right now. People don't want to see these movies.
I think video game movies might be the next big thing.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Like, they just announced the Mario sequel.
Right.
They did like some on Mario Day, which is March 10th, because it's like abbreviated. It's like, it looks like Mario, for those who don't know. They did like this little trailer where they announced release dates for Paper Mario, Luigi's Mansion 2, and then they dropped three Game Boy games on Nintendo Switch Online. And then they also said that the next movie's coming out in like 2026. But it's like, you know, they saw how much that movie made. And obviously now there's like fuel to the fire there to make more. And there's just a lot. I mean, the Sonic movies have been super successful. They're making the third one. There's a Zelda movie coming out, which I don't know. I still don't know about that thing, but whatever. I don't know. I think we're just in a video game movie like resurgence where like in the 90s, they weren't all that great. But now it seems like they figured it out, at least for the most part. So that might be the next big thing, man. I think so.
Yeah, we're seeing a nice synergy sort of between gaming and movies. You know, you're even seeing like Hideo Kojima working with like Hollywood directors to come over to that side and help out with things there. So there is going to be a lot of, I guess, cross-pollination when it comes to these kind of things. And that's kind of exciting. And I think there's something to that. I think for a long time, there was sort of like a separation between games and movies, even though you would think they would go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes they worked out to like mixed results, right? Like a lot of horrible video games based on movies and things like that, or copyrighted material. Yeah. And then on the other side, horrible movies based on video games.
Yep.
So I think, could be the next thing. You're definitely seeing an uptick in quality. I mean, you know, The Last of Us, that was a highly successful TV show that got renewed. I think almost instantaneously. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely, there's still a lot more juice there. There's Mark Henry in that teal suit. He's still got a lot left in the tank, you know?
Yeah. In the last month alone, we've seen trailers for the new Knuckles show, the Fallout TV show, the Borderlands movie. You know, like the video game stuff just keeps pumping out. I think they announced Twisted Metal season 2 somewhere in there. Like,
yeah.
It's cool. It's a cool time to be alive.
The trailer for the Borderlands is interesting because there's so much star power that it just looks like they're all cosplaying.
I know. That's not going to be a great
one. Like, I know he's your boy, but, like, I cannot unsee Kevin Hart. Anytime I see Kevin Hart, he's just Kevin Hart to me, you know?
He's my boy. But
he's kind of reached, like, that The Rock status, you know? Like, he's just so big that you can't help but see, like, that's just The Rock.
Exactly.
Which is nothing wrong with that, but
it just makes it harder to be in a to sell the character to us. It's like,
yeah. Now my idea for Borderlands is if it's done like some like tongue in cheek sort of like Deadpoolish kind of way, like it could work, you know?
Yeah, it could. That's
where
that's
they're kind of like, well, we're tasked to go beat the villain, so let's go do that kind of thing, right?
Let's make them kind of self aware,
almost like a Suicide Squad-ish, you know? Like they have that sense of humor, like, oh, we're going into battle now,
yeah.
But yeah, no.
That's funny.
So yeah, do I think this universe has any hope of working out in the end? In terms of money, so far, no. And then in terms of storylines, maybe. But, you know, it's too disjointed, you know? I haven't seen Venom 2 or 3, obviously, but I saw Venom 1 and I thought that was fine. Now, you've told me Venom 2 is not as good, right?
I personally don't think so. Just because, like, they want to show you Carnage and what Carnage looks cool in the movie and stuff, and I like Woody Harrelson as Carnage, but it's like there's no Spider-Man, and I'm gonna have that complaint every time. Why is there no Spider-Man? There has to be a Spider-Man for this all to make sense. But whatever. I digress. My argument. All right. Thank you, Scotty. WrestleMania next month. What are your hype levels for the show at this point? I'm kind of bummed that Punk won't be there, but still, it's WrestleMania. This is from Blaine. Yeah, man. Chris, what are your hype levels going into April?
I think they've done a really good job with the card to really, you know, I think just in general, they've done a really good job with the whole roster, making everybody feel like a star.
Yeah, that's true. I just saw today that they announced like a 6-man tag team match. And a lot of them are like mystery opponents right now. Like, pretty cool. Like, I wasn't even expecting that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the main event, which is the Bloodline stuff. I feel like this is probably going to come to maybe not a total end of the story, but some kind of end to the story. And, that's really what I'm most excited for. And then, of course, the Usos are finally going to have their WrestleMania moment, which is awesome to see. So for those two matches particularly, I'm excited for. I guess three because the Bloodline's doing double shifts. But, yeah, man, I'm excited, man. I'm really excited for it. I think that the WrestleMania the past couple years has been pretty solid. But this one, they're definitely, like, no matter what has been thrown at WWE, whether it's, like, the Vince McMahon shit, all the accusations with some of the other wrestlers, injuries, all that stuff, they've somehow still managed to make this so interesting and like still garnered the hype that they need to garner going into WrestleMania. Because at one point in time a couple months ago, like, all this was questioned, like, it's like, damn, is this really, like, how's this going to be pulled off? And with the introduction of like The Rock coming back and all that, I think they've done something pretty cool here. So I'm definitely excited to watch it. I'll be watching it probably both nights like I usually do. But yeah, what's your favorite match so far going into it? What are you looking forward to the most?
Let's go through the card. We have Io Sky versus Bayley for the Women's Championship. That should be good, and I feel like that should be Bayley's coronation party.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. I think you can put it back on Lynch, but, you know, I think Rhea Ripley's on a really good high right now. I think you keep her there.
Yeah, I think so.
IC title, Gunther versus Zayn. They've done an amazing time with Gunther. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for... He's polished enough. He can go anywhere and be okay. I think Sammy needs the belt more right here, and I think that'd be a good sort of WrestleMania moment, right?
It would be the moment that he's probably been waiting for besides, like, the tag team titles. But as a solo moment for his career, I think it would be cool.
Yeah. Then you have, like you said, the six-pack ladder match for the championships, the Judgment Day versus five teams to be determined. The Rock and Reigns versus Cody and Seth freaking Rollins. That's on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one, I would imagine the babyfaces win. I can't imagine.
I think the heels win.
Yeah.
So that Cody can win the next night.
Isn't it if the babyfaces win, then it's still Cody versus Reigns, but the bloodline can't get involved?
If the babyfaces win. But here's what I'm kind of expecting and kind of hoping, Loki. I want the heels to win so that the bloodline is involved, so that people come out and support Cody. Like all the people that would kind of make sense that you're not even thinking of. Like Randy comes out, Owens comes out, everyone that's ever had beef with the bloodline. Because Seth kind of is pushing this narrative that like the story isn't just Cody's, it's like everybody's story, that like he has to win for everybody so that we're free of this, like, you know, bloodline shit. It would be so fitting to have all these guys that have failed all like in the past 2-3 years to just come out and just keep it a level playing field with the bloodline. I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So I'm going to say heels.
But see, I hate the idea of the WrestleMania main event just having all these random bodies there. You know, like I've just always
pandemonium.
I have always hated that. My worst WrestleManias are those ones. One year they did a 4-pack challenge with a McMahon in every corner. It was like Austin versus Rock versus Triple H versus, like, I think the Big Show. And there was a McMahon in every corner, and it was just like chaos. And I'm more of a traditionalist. I just like a nice clean match between two or three guys, mm-hmm. or, you know, in the main event. So I get that. But I like that idea, but why not do that in the tag team match? You know, as a tag team match is going on and it's the biggest power struggle ever, you can do that, right? I think that'd be pretty cool. It'd be awesome if AEW gave permission for like Goldust to be involved somehow, you know?
Oh, that'd be cool.
But I don't know. I don't think WWE and AEW are getting along right now.
Did they ever?
Yeah. And then you have Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the world title on Sunday. And Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes on Sunday for the other title. So, yeah. And then, of course, if the heels win that big tag team match, then night two will be under bloodline rules, which is no DQ. But, yeah, it looks like a pretty good card. Is there any one match I'm excited for? I mean, I don't know. I kind of want to see what happens in that tag team match. I think because it could go either way and shake up the booking in either direction, I think that's probably going to have the most eyeballs. And you know what? It might even be cool to just, that's the first match on night one, you know?
That it should be, to be honest, just because it'd be a nice little kick to the show. And plus, these guys would probably get the most rest that they can. Given it'd be the beginning to the very end. That'd be cool. Wouldn't mind that.
It's crazy, too, because CM Punk got hurt at the Rumble. It was originally going to be CM Punk versus Rollins for one world title and then Cody Rhodes versus Reigns for the second world title. Rock comes into this thing, right? And CM Punk gets hurt. So all these different plans had to change. And that also brought in Drew McIntyre, right? So it's interesting how everything kind of got shuffled around but still ended up working. And so when CM Punk comes back, there's so many different directions you can go with that character as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. I'm excited for WrestleMania, man. And a lot of these guys are doing double duty, which shows how short the roster is right now because of injuries, but also shows that these guys are, they've done such a good job with these guys that no one's really batting an eye at that. Nobody really cares. Everyone's just like, let's go.
Well, who's doing double duty? The world champions?
The world champions.
Yeah, but that's just the nature of the story. I don't think they would have done double duty originally.
Well, there's Gunther, too, doing double duty.
I hated the idea of this tag team match at first. Like, I didn't like the idea.
Right.
You know, like, there'll be this tag team match first, and then, you know, it'll be... and then they'll wrestle again kind of thing. It was like, oh, man, I kind of don't like that. But, you know, they kind of sold me on the idea, and it does make sense to do it that way.
Yeah. We'll see, man. We'll see. I think we should do a little episode where we place our bets.
You know I'm not a betting man. I'm a good man.
You're good. Yeah, okay. You're a good man.
I don't gamble. Right. You know me.
You're all right. I only gamble when I know I'm going to win, which isn't gambling. Thank you for Blaine to writing in that question. And number three, YouTube recently did a survey where they name dropped the Switch Attach, which is now being viewed as a potential name for the next Nintendo system. I hate it, but what do you guys think? Is it real? This is from Sean. Yeah, this is giving me Wii U vibes. I personally don't think this is real. I think that they, maybe the survey that they were doing, it was AI generated and that's what came out. I don't know.
What are you talking about? What survey? What are you talking about?
So YouTube sent out a survey to people saying what are you most likely, what system are you most likely to buy next? The PS6, the Xbox 2, or the Switch Attach?
Yeah.
At least it's something along those lines. And when people saw Switch Attach, they were like, what in the hell? So this is any kind of credit, I don't even know if credible is the word, but any kind of leak that's happened where there is an actual name and people have like looked at it and thought, okay, maybe. The Switch Attach is literally the equivalent to me of when they did the Wii, and then the next one was the Wii U. It's just not a great name. It sounds like the Switch Attach is something for the Switch, which is exactly what the Wii U did, or at least the energy that the Wii U put out. It's like, what is it, an add-on? I don't understand. Yeah, the Switch Attach is a horrible name. I don't think they're going to do that. Nintendo these days are very different than Nintendo back in the day. They're very business-oriented. They don't care so much about being fun and quirky. I think that they're going to stick to what works, and I think just calling it the Switch 2 is probably more likely than the Switch Attach. But I'm not going to rule anything out, because at the end of the day, this is the same company that did the Wii U. So, yeah, I personally don't think it's real. Chris, thoughts on the Switch Attach? God, I hate saying it.
Well, no, I mean, obviously, I mean, what everybody is omitting here is the fact that in that rumor, that leak or whatever, is something called the Xbox 2. Xbox doesn't number their systems that way, right? So that should be an immediate giveaway that everything else is probably fugazi, right? Is there even going to be a PS6? Who knows, right? And so to hear the Switch Attach, it's... That they could have just thrown a word in there or whatever, right? But the Switch Attach is not the worst name, right? Wii U sounds way stupider. Like, it really does.
It does, yeah.
Like, that is, and if you think about the original Game Boy, what the fuck is a Game Boy? You know, like, if you really start thinking about it,
yeah.
It's a console named after a kid with a console. And then there's the Game Boy Pocket, you know?
Don't forget the Game Boy Advance.
So, yeah, the Advance, right? That's so nerdy. Like, oh, this is the Advance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they've had a lot of these goofy names, and I think some of that is the fact that everything's translated over, and sometimes there's cultural differences that results in certain things being named a certain way. But having said that, I made a list of names that I would recommend instead of the Switch Attached. Are you ready for this one?
Oh, God.
The Switcheroo. I want to see a Switcheroo. 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 And this one's for the, you can market one to the wrestling community, the Switcheroonie.
Oh, my God.
The Switcheroonie would go well in WWE. You can do marketing with Booker T selling it on on NXT. And it would go over with the Italians, right? The Italians. Hey, give me some of that Switcheroonie, you know? Here's another one. The Switchtendo.
So bad.
Okay, here are my two best. This is honestly like if Nintendo hired me tomorrow.
Oh, geez.
One of them is the Switch It. You're just adding IT to the end of it. So it's the Switch It.
The Switch
now
It.
On the Switch It, right? I know it sounds like Gidget a little bit, but or Widget.
I think my only problem is it sounds like the first thing I thought in my head was like a Switch Mini.
Right.
Like a Switch It. Like it's not as big.
Yeah.
You could switch it to a smaller size. I don't know.
I think they're going to advertise this as the most customizable system of all time.
Holy shit.
And I think they're literally going to come out of the gate with a base model and then a pro model. They're like, fuck it. Here's the pro model. You want the power, motherfucker? Here you go. So you're going to get the regular system and then the upgraded one, right?
Yeah.
And then the whole Switch gimmick, I think Nintendo obviously owns that. So I think we're going to see them coming up with new and inventive ways to sort of, because think about it, like in terms of like they've never really had like a pro controller except like the pro controller, but not something that you can actually attach onto the system like the handheld, right?
Right.
Maybe cool if you could have some kind of like pro grips, something that replaces those the cheapy plastic ones that we're all used to, right?
Yeah.
So just things like that. So I like to switch it, and then the switch up. That would...
The switch up. That's your fairy tale one. The switch up isn't bad either. I don't know, man. I do feel the same, though. I feel like they have to keep the Switch branding. I feel like it's a smart idea to keep the Switch in the name. But I don't know if Switch It or Switch Up is what they're going to do. I also have a little list, but mine's a lot more not fun. Mine is... okay, honestly, the most unlikely would be another word for Switch. The Nintendo Swap. That would not work, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's another word for Switch, and it's the next one. It's the Swap. But think about it. It wouldn't surprise me. Like, oh, the Nintendo Swap. And then it's like, oh, I'm playing it on my Swap. Like, it works. It just sounds like, the more you say Swap, it sounds like a dirty word. The Swap. And then the next one. These are very non-traditional, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised. Like, I have a feeling it's one of these two. The Nintendo Switch 2. They straight up put a number on it. For the first time ever, they'll put a number on it. Just because that is the most direct way to tell people this is the next thing. It's better than the last one. It's the next one in its series. Go get it, blah, blah, blah. That's their marketing speak. And then, of course, people think PlayStation when it comes to the number, so I think it would work for the Switch. And then... The one I'm so scared that they do, but they've done this before and it pissed me off. The new Nintendo Switch. Just call it the new Nintendo Switch, because they did that with the stupid 3DS. There was a re-released the 3DS with like a bit of like a little nub as a joystick kind of thing, and it was like the new Nintendo 3DS, and it had its own exclusive games. There was only like four of them or five of them or something like that, but still, it was like, what the hell? If they go with that, I'd be not surprised at all. And I think it's the most likely, given the fact that it's like they did it before. And also it's very simple. It's as simple as Switch 2. It's just Switch 2. I would like better than the new Nintendo Switch. It's just, this is what it is. It's the new one. Get this one.
Yeah.
So I honestly think those two are probably the most likely, but we'll see. My fun pick would be not the Swap, but the Super Switch. That'd be cool. Throw it back to the Super Nintendo days, the Super Nintendo Switch. But, yeah, I don't think that's...
Hey, that console could drop by the fall?
Well, apparently it got pushed to the 2025.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Internal delay. It's not the fact that they don't have the system ready or anything like that. Apparently it's just lacking some games to launch with. That's the word. So They're getting on that, I guess. Is something delayed if it was never announced?
I think that delay is just kind of like, don't even start asking us questions. We're not ready yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. it's like one of those things. Like, don't come asking.
Don't even go there, please.
Yeah.
That's funny. Anyway, that's it for the mailbag. Thank you guys for writing in. And, yeah, you could do so again at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. We'll read your stuff next week. Goodbye. All right. TV and movies. Let's go a little bit here. I recently watched a movie that, has escaped me for years, but, I guess it's getting a bit of a resurgence online. I keep seeing clips from it. I am a big fan of ex-mob boss Michael Franzese, who has like a podcast and stuff. He's got a YouTube channel. So I like listening to his stories about the mob. And he has one with Chaz Palminteri called The Wise and the Wise Guy that I started listening to. And Chaz Palminteri is Sonny in Bronx Tale. And he talks...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he talks about getting that movie made and how it was and stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm finally going to go watch this one. It's been out of my way for a long time. So I found it on some streaming service. I forget which one. And I watched it. And I had a great time, man. This was really good. This was a nice take on a mob movie. This wasn't super, like, gruesome, like Goodfellas or, like, you know, like Casino. Like, there isn't, like, crazy things that happen in it that's, like, violent. It's more so you follow this kid whose neighbor's with... Or who lives down the street from a bar where the mobsters hang out, and he thinks that Sonny is like the coolest dude because everyone listens to him, everyone does what he says, everyone idolizes him. And you have Robert De Niro playing Lorenzo, who's the kid's father, basically telling him, like, the working man is, like, the tough man. He wakes up at 5. Like, that's a man. Like, none of that bullshit down there that you see. And eventually there's, like, an age jump or a skip where the kid grows up and he gets more attached to Sonny and the mob, but he's never really in the mob because it turns out Sonny has this kid's best interest at heart. Sonny actually doesn't want him to join the mob. He's like, this is my world. You're in your world. Like, you know, we could be friends and stuff and I could help you out. But other than that, because Sonny or the kid, when he was a kid, his name's Calogero. It's a pretty Italian name. He helped Sonny get out of a jam. He witnessed the murder and basically didn't say who it was. That's basically right. What happened. So they become tight. And then it just follows Calogero's, you know, teen years. And what, like, awesome. Something happens and it's, you know, it's a movie and you go through it. And it was really good, man. I really enjoyed it. This is Robert De Niro's directing debut, which was pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he directed this as well as starred in it. And he's a supporting star. He's a supporting star. He's not the main guy at all. So
that's so cool.
I thought this whole cast was really cool. I thought everyone was pretty sick in terms of acting, in terms of like the way it's presented. And yeah, they talk about this movie a lot on those podcasts that I listen to, and I love hearing the behind the scenes. Unfortunately, one of the... Because there's two actors that plays Calogero. The one that plays the older one, Lilo Brancato, it's crazy. When you look at his... when you look up recent interviews, he's good now, but he ended up, like, getting lost in drugs. He ended up going to jail for a long time. He ended up... Wow. Like, his life spiraled out of control, man. Like
the Robert Downey Jr., the kind of story we were talking about last week.
Right, but even worse, because this guy was kind of involved in a murder that he didn't do, but he was involved.
Right.
And when he came out... Chaz Palminteri said, I want nothing to do with you. Like, I helped you back then. You ruined this for yourself. Like, it's crazy, man. It's insane. So, yeah, watch the Vlad TV interview with Lilo Brancato. He breaks down what happened. It's about an hour, and it's an interesting listen. And, yeah, I became a big fan of this movie. I was obsessed with this movie for a couple weeks just because I kept listening to, like, the behind the scenes, how the movie got made, how Chaz Palminteri had to push for this to get made because no one wanted to touch it. Like, it was cool, man. It's a good movie. I liked it a lot. What it is with this movie, Chaz Palminteri was actually a Broadway guy. And he did this movie on Broadway. But when he actually wanted to make the movie, he wanted to also star in it. It was like Rocky. It was like Sylvester Stallone's situation. They didn't want him to star in it. They just wanted the rights. But he refused. And then I forget what happened, but one day Robert De Niro came to him because he caught wind of this. And with Robert De Niro's connections, they made it happen. So that's what it really is. It's kind of like the similarities with Rocky in this. I think Chaz even said that in one of the interviews. But yeah, I'm happy it got made, man, because it's actually really good. It's definitely on the gangster shelf. It's worthy of the gangster shelf for sure.
That's cool. And yeah, you can watch this one for free on YouTube, actually.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Easy access. A Bronx Tale, 1993.
I like that.
All right, Chris, I'll let you lead with this one. Black Mirror Season 7 has been
Black Mirror is coming back. First of all, I realized that I've never seen Black Mirror Season 6. That one that came out last year.
With Miley Cyrus?
Is that the one?
The one with...
No, after that. Unless Miley Cyrus...
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. I also haven't.
It dropped last year. It was considered like the Supernatural season because they brought in Supernatural elements. Mm-hmm. Which kind of got some mixed reviews, but anyway, yeah, they've led off today with like a teaser trailer for season 7, and I guess the big reveal is that in the trailer, one of the little symbols, it says 6 loading, and then the third one, it turns into that little sort of like that mock sort of Star Trek symbol.
Yeah.
From season 4 episode, whatever it was. It basically tells that story of how they're all under the captain's command.
Right.
But yeah, it was the Captain Robert Daly presides over his crew with wisdom and courage, but a new recruit will soon discover nothing on the spaceship is what it seems. So USS Callister, that's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
You'll remember that the captain met a terrible fate by the time the story concluded. Netflix references this in a short teaser description for the follow-up, though further details remain a mystery. Robert Daly is dead, but for the crew of the USS Callister, their problems are just beginning. So that's interesting, and that's going to be like the first direct sequel episode to any of the other episodes that have happened in the show so far. But yeah, I was kind of surprised that I missed season six, but I'm kind of excited now that I get to go and watch season six.
Yeah, yeah. This is cool. I also saw all of, I think, everything up to season five. So like season six,
yeah.
I have also not watched it. I don't know. It kind of flew under the radar, I guess. But I enjoy the Black Mirror series. I think that, you know, it's funny. This one that they're talking about that's getting the sequel was the first ever episode I watched, because when I watched the show, Netflix had it backwards. So it started from season four to season one. And I ended up watching it in reverse without even realizing it. And then, so it's funny that I'm kind of like nostalgic for this one in a way, because it was like, okay, this kind of kicked off the whole thing for me. And now it's getting a sequel, which is cool. But they should do this more, man. Like, so many of those episodes were worthy of sequels. Those are like little movies. Like the San Junipero one is one that sticks out heavily. That could have got a sequel of some kind, like, or even another tale within that universe. Like, you could do so much, because it's like these people are essentially dead, living in another world, and, you know, finding out about their like real life. It's a cool premise. So yeah, Black Mirror season seven, I'll probably check it out. But yeah, like you, I'm also gonna check out season six.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the movie?
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah, it was like Bandersnatch or something. I also haven't. But apparently it's one of those interactive things that you like pick options or something.
Oh, yeah? I think I couldn't do it on my TV for whatever reason.
Oh.
Or something like that. I can't remember.
It stars Will Poulter.
Who's that?
The kid from We're the Millers. That got bit by a spider on his
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Or he was in The Last Guardians of the Galaxy as... oh, man.
As Groot?
Nah, that's Vin Diesel. damn it. Anyway, whatever. Will Poulter, people know who Will Poulter is.
Okay.
Look him up after. He's known as the eyebrow. He's like, yo, eyebrows. You don't remember that?
No. I'm sure I've seen his picture somewhere, but there you go.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a distinct look. He was also in Maze Runner, which is the first thing I saw him in. He was the asshole of the movie. But yeah. All right, that's it for movie news. Let's jump into the game flow. The game flow... We're going to cover one thing that I think is crazy that happened this past week, and I think it shocked the industry a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I've been following the story. It's interesting. Basically, there is a company called Tropic Haze. Tropic Haze is responsible for creating Yuzu, which Yuzu is the most popular Nintendo Switch emulator out there, pretty much. And Nintendo went after them, pretty much shut them down hard. And they suffered, man. And I think everyone's kind of feeling this. Basically, Yuzu's shut down now. It's completely offline. So obviously, you could probably still get it from like people that have downloaded it and re-uploaded it and all that. But from Tropic Haze, it's offline. And basically, they settled with them giving up pretty much the keys to the car, so to speak. And also, they got to pay Nintendo $2.4 million.
That's wild.
Which is just crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I think, here's the thing. This company wasn't putting this emulator out for free. They were bringing in about $30,000 a week with their Patreon. And I think that probably set Nintendo off.
For sure.
That was definitely like something that Nintendo saw. I was like, okay, no one else is really making money like that. We need to shut these guys down. And another thing that that Nintendo was accusing them of is, before The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom came out, people were using Yuzu to get it early. Apparently, 1 million people got their hands on Tears of the Kingdom before it actually released. And Nintendo's pretty much seeing that as 1 million people that could have attributed to the sales of the game. So I think that's warranted. I don't have any problem with this.
Like, definitely.
That's legit.
Yeah.
They also, like, on top of it, taught people how to use Yuzu as a piracy device. There were people from the company that were giving lessons on how to, you know, drag and drop the ROMs, so to speak. And you just don't do that. Like, look, emulators are legal, but using them to play the ROMs, that's what's illegal about it. So once they're crossing the line of showing them how to use the ROMs and all that, yeah, you're gonna get screwed. Something else that happened with this, they're also the creators of Citra, which is the 3DS emulator, and that's what's really the problem here, because people have relied on Citra for a really long time to play these 3DS games, and now that's gone. because it's the same company that, you know, has Yuzu. So Nintendo just said, oh yeah, that take it down too. And that kind of sucks because Citra was something I was kind of getting used to literally a month ago. So there's I'm lucky I haven't downloaded it, but again, it's like, it's going to be hard to find, at least directly through like a normal source. So yeah, that sucks, man. So in light of that happening, $2.4 million later, there's now something called Suyu, which is literally a laugh and a gag at poking fun at the whole situation. Suyu. And apparently this team apparently has a plan. They've consulted legal advice. They're just going to push back on piracy whenever it's around and brought up to them, and they're not going to monetize. So good luck to them. I guess they're going to be the new sheriff in town in terms of Switch emulation. But, you know, after all this is out, like, other people have been affected by this. A lot of other people have come out and said that they're no longer supporting their own emulators, or they're going to put their emulators offline. Two notable ones are Pizza Boy, which was a Game Boy emulator, and Aether SX2, which was a PS2 emulator. These both got pulled off the Play Store already, so they're also gone. I think Nintendo put pressure on this sector over here. I feel like people that have emulators are probably wondering if they're in the clear, if they've done anything wrong, if they have, like, you know, if they're in that gray area, because they're always going to be in the gray area no matter what. But it's all a matter of how they're going to conduct themselves when it comes to the ROMs and the piracy of it all. Yuzu put out a bullshit statement basically saying that we don't support piracy and all this stuff. And it's just funny because they were supporting piracy in a way. And you got to think, the minute someone has an emulator, the first thing they're thinking about is pirating. Like, I don't care what other things it could do. The first thing on people's minds is they're going to pirate it. That's what everyone does. That's what emulators are technically for. So there's that. I guess my question is, after me explaining all this stuff, you, like, Chris, you, how do you feel about, because we've talked about the emulation use before on this show, but how do you feel about the emulation when it comes to, like, something that you can go to the store right now and buy yourself?
What do you mean, go to the store and buy myself?
Like, it's current gen. It's current gen emulation. It's not like, my excuse is, I'll emulate it if I can no longer give Nintendo or Sony money to buy the product, because it's no longer available because they've moved on to the PS5 when I'm trying to buy, like, a PS2 game, right? So in that case, it's like, I see emulating as a good way to preserve the games and play the games because I no longer have access to it officially. But when you do have access to it officially, because you can go out and get a Switch game, it's like, okay, now it really is like piracy. Now you really are, you really are stealing the thing. That's my views on it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, emulation, I guess that's what, a way to digitally back up games that you already own, right?
You could do that too with it.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's a, I don't think everybody downloads emulators just to play free games. I think that's a very generalized statement. I'm sure there's people that legitimately own a bunch of these games and want to back them up and things like that, right? But, you know, it comes down to sort of what's going on right now with the digital rights, right? You might not be able to play, you know, X game A, B, or C because it's been taken down or you can't reach it. But that still doesn't give you any right to, you know, go above your means to find these games. But at the same time, I understand that if there's no other way to play it, that might be the only way. But, I mean, aside from that, it's just one of those... As long as there's a system that allows you to, you know, get these games without paying for them, I think there's always going to be sort of like a morality thing about it. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo's just shutting everything down just because, you know, they can. They don't mind picking these fights and going after these people. You figure these guys are making $30,000 a week or a month or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's like a drop in the bucket when you consider all the money that Nintendo makes.
Yeah.
But they still went after them and they still shut them down. So... It opened up the market, allowed other people to come up with their own ideas. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is, it's definitely, you know, I think it's a message from Nintendo, right? And that is that, when they see any of this funny stuff happening, they're going to come after you. So it's tough, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't really affect me, but I get it in terms of like game preservation and stuff like that. But again, that bleeds into the, you know, how what is your limit on owning something? How long do you own something for, right?
Yeah. That's true. Do you think that, how do you feel about, like, let's just say I buy Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I bought it. So, but now I'm gonna throw it up on the emulator. I'm gonna use mods. I'm gonna use upscalers. I'm gonna make the game look so much more better than they intended to on the Switch. Do you feel like because you bought the game, you have a right to do shit like that? Or do you think that's still like a breach?
I think it's a breach in certain ways. Like, I think in the comfort of your own home, if you tweak the game and you know, do whatever you want, you make the characters' heads bigger, or you know, you make all the night levels day, things like that. If you want to do it in the comfort of your own home, that's fine to a certain point. Mm-hmm. But when you start like gloating, putting it on YouTube, showing it off, you know, look at this game, blah blah blah, then it's a little bit different, right? Yeah. And again, it goes down to what exactly do you own. In the early 90s, this might have been the late 80s, early 90s, Nintendo sued Game Genie. Game Genie was this cartridge where you would put in your games or whatever, and it would allow you to access the debug menus. You know, and from there, you could change the enemy settings. You can give yourself unlimited lives. You can insert cheat codes and stuff like that and access, you know, the debug and coder menus. And so Sony and Nintendo sued them. They sued Game Genie and they brought them to court and everything. And Game Genie ended up winning.
Yeah.
And it became a thing in court where it's one thing to own the game, but then it's another thing. What Nintendo was saying is once you start inputting codes and things like that, you're actually messing with the intellectual property. And they ended up losing that case, which was pretty interesting. If they were to go back to court again today, I wonder like what would happen, if it would still be sort of the same outcome, right? Mm-hmm. There is something like if you buy a car and you want to lower it or put bigger rims or new tires or a better engine or whatever it might be, you know, the car manufacturer is not going to reach out to you and tell you to stop doing that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you to stop doing that. But you know, if it's in that scenario. So it's really tricky because then it doesn't translate back over when you bring it back into the video game realm.
Yeah, because again, these are like licenses to play things now, especially when it comes to like the digital talk. It's like you just have a license to play it. And if they decide to revoke your license, there's not much you could do about it. So it's almost like you're renting it, just not money, no money back at all. It's like,
yeah,
you know, we saw this with Stellar Blade got a demo that leaked. Some people were able to download it and play it, but Sony saw the mistake and yanked it off the store. And even if you had it downloaded, they still revoked your access to it. They still were able to do that, even downloaded, just because you were connected to the internet. And that should be the biggest sign that an all digital future is not good. But
right.
But that was insane. When I heard like, wow, even downloaded it, they still were able to like just clip its wings. So yeah, it always goes back to that debate. But like, yeah, I mean, there is like a bigger conversation. Like, what exactly do I own when I pay $100 at the counter for this thing? Like, mm-hmm. You know, because even though you buy physical, I'm always for the physical team. But like even me buying physical, the way games are these days, that's not enough. You still have to like connect to the internet to install things and download things off the cart or the CD. So it's like, really, like you're screwed either way. Like, what do you own? I don't know, man. That's like a huge question these days. Because back then, you know, you bought the cartridge, you put it in and it works and that's it. It is what it is. Now there's so much more involved with installing a game on your system that it's like, it's just so much more technical, right? There's so many more gray areas and it's crazy. Like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came on two damn discs. And it's like the amount of time I had to wait for that thing to, it wasn't too bad, but like 30 minutes passed by and I was like, okay, can I play now? And then it's like, it's all on the other end. Like someone else is responsible for you to play that game. It's no longer just completely up to you. So
yeah.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about playing games offline for sure. Even when you, you know, let's just say you buy a game that's been out for a couple of years, you've never inserted the disc into your system yet, it's going to have to download patches and files and all kinds of things that have been updated from the time that you first got the game. Now, on the one hand, that's a really cool thing, right? It allows the game to be a lot better than when it first came out,
yeah.
which might even was obviously before you earned, before you owned it. But at the same time, you know, it's a completely different game than the game that originally came out, right? Mm-hmm. I could, you know, No Man's Sky was like that, right? That's a completely different game now than it was when it first came out. And most recently, you know, even like a Cyberpunk.
Yep.
With changing of the systems in that game to make it more of a RPG. There's definitely, you know, there's something to be said about what do I own? And is the convenience of having the most updated game and most updated bugs fixed worth, you know, sort of that extra hoop of trying to just play this game?
Yeah.
This one player experience that, you know, you got to hold on, needs to log in for whatever reason, you know?
It's true. And it pisses me off to this day.
Yeah. So the future of emulation, I think Nintendo scared a lot of these companies away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could see, you know, now that Nintendo's getting, you know, more and more into fleshing out their sort of digital archives and things like that, it makes sense that they would go after some of these companies to shut them down.
Especially when you consider the fact that they use emulation to put those games on the Switch.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
It's all business. It's all competition. In their eyes, it's like, yo, we have the rights to this. I don't care. I don't care how small you are. That other guy went to jail, and he owes them like $100 million or something. And,
yeah.
And he's paying them like every week off his small checks from jail, whatever he's doing in there. It's like, that is ridiculous. They have no no chill in terms of that. They don't care who you are.
That was that other guy, right?
Gary Bowser, which is very fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and that's it for the game flow. Let's end this off with, we're both playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, so we're just going to gush a little bit, I guess. I'll let you go first, since you're a little bit earlier in the game than I am.
I'm very early on. I'm just past Chapter 2, Chapter 3. Just got my first Chocobo.
Nice.
So just riding around, getting into random battles. Really fun. You know, what more can be said? Amazing graphics, music, everything else, the world map. It's cool to finally be able to do that. I think, you know, if I have any takeaways so far, is that the story is really good. You do get into battles fairly quickly, so it's not one of those things where you have to watch 3 hours of movies. Although there are a couple of parts where I'm like, all right, let's get on with it, you know, like, space out the tutorials a little bit more, you know, but you know, you got to learn the systems at some point. So it's been fun. It's just that I just haven't had time to really sit down and get into it. I've just been really busy with other stuff. But so far, so good. I'm still trying to make my way to the those mudlands or whatever with the Chocobo,
mm-hmm.
so that I can get to the other side. So I'm fairly early on. But it's a lot of fun, and I like the music, and everything else has been really good. The fighting seems really tight. And there are parts where there's so much stuff going on the screen that you expect the PlayStation 5 to like stutter at certain points. But no, it's been pretty good. And I have it set to performance mode.
Yeah.
So just been doing that. And yeah, man, the great thing about that game is that you're literally going from point A to point B, but there will be so many things that come up and distract you that you end up on side quests and doing things on the side and helping people out and things like that. Yeah, you know, but at one point I was just kind of like, I'm coming off Final Fantasy VII Remake, which had one of the great epic battles at the end of that game, and here, you know, technically just a little while later, I'm out here looking for flowers.
I didn't think of it like that.
For somebody's fucking bouquet, right? Just like, I mean, I guess.
That's,
you know,
awesome. I didn't even think of it.
So there is a little bit of that, but so far, so good, man. I'm about 4 or 5 hours in, something like that, right?
Nice.
Yeah. That's cool. What about you, man? You're further on ahead.
Yeah.
You're almost done, you were telling me. Sorry, never mind.
Yeah, I'm 62 hours in. I don't want to spoil anything, but I think what I just did today, I played a bit earlier, and I was like, okay, this seems like possibly the final dungeon, if not the second final dungeon. I don't know how much more I have ahead of me, but it definitely seems like it's going to an end. I can no longer go back. I'm at the point of no return. I believe there's no more fast traveling. Like, yo, you kicked off the event. I believe chapter 12, after you do chapter 12, you're kind of on the road to completion. you can't go back and do anything you missed, so you better be happy with what you got.
Does it give you a warning?
it kind of does in the cutscene where they're like, you know, there's no turning back. It's like, okay. So, which is fine. I'm going to go back and complete everything in general anyway. I fully plan on doing that. But, yeah, at one point, like, I completed the first two regions that you get completely. I did everything in them, the grasslands and the Junon region, which is next. And, but after that was kind of when I got the itch to further the story a little more, because it was like, I want more from the story. Like, these distractions are cool, but essentially you're going to be doing the same thing in every region. It's just different enemies, a different setting and all that. But eventually I was like, I just want more from this stupid story. And then I got more out of the story, and I was like, okay, sick. And then once I got some story beats out, I was like, okay, it hit me so hard. I was like, all right, I'm going to go back to exploring and like finding stupid things. So I went to do that for a long time. But there was a region that I was so enthralled in the story, I completely skipped it. I didn't do one thing. I was like, wow. I just want to go to the next one. I just want to go.
Yeah. You were over it.
I was just going to keep going. But then after that, I did the next two regions almost to completion following that one. So I got to go back. It's just funny because I'm thinking in the back of my head, when I do have time to go back and finish everything, that region is going to be so new to me because I did nothing in it. It's probably going to be awesome. Like, really, it's going to be something I'm not even like familiar with. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, in terms of everything that I've gone through, in terms of like the surprises, the moments, you know, just the performance, like the acting, the writing, the combat is so fun. It's so fun to play. I love mixing, you know, all my accessories and my materia and stuff. I love switching weapons. I love getting all the abilities. I'm all into that. I think just there's something to be said about the open world. The open world it's not super open world. It's more like an open zone kind of thing. It's very fun to explore and get all this stuff and activate the towers to get, you know, more icons on the map, just like a Ubisoft game. But the thing is, there's a novelty with it, with it being Cloud and the others. There's a novelty with it. It's literally something that's like, I can't, if it was any other game with some bullshit characters, I probably wouldn't care as much. But the fact that this is bringing me back to like Final Fantasy VII, like OG, and just going through the open world with people and like interacting with these story beats, visiting these different towns, like it's so cool to do. That's kind of what keeps me going.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the story so far has been stellar. It hits you and it won't stop hitting you. And we'll see how it is in the end. I'm kind of nervous for this ending.
You're already prepared for the mush sandwich?
The mush sandwich. I'm from these little reviews, I've been pretty in the dark with everything. Like, in terms of reviews, I've only seen one. But I think the main consensus is that ending is going to split you. I'm a little nervous. But other than that, the game's been super solid. I could see myself playing this all year. Like, I think it's going to take me a long time to platinum it, but I'm going to try to platinum it. If I'm going to critique anything, though, the mini games, the amount of mini games, I feel like we could have toned this down a little bit, guys.
Wow, there's too many, huh?
There's so goddamn many mini games that it's like, is this necessary? Not all of them are like, I don't think any of them are bad, but I think a lot of them are like, you know, I all I had to do was flip this switch, but now I got to flip this switch and play this game and do this. It's like, really? Why couldn't I just flip the switch? It's kind of weird. But that being said, Golden Saucer minigames are fucking dope. I loved it. I literally spent the whole day there, an 8-hour session just playing minigames and trying to get them all done. So that was fun. And then Queen's Blood. I am addicted to Queen's Blood. Queen's Blood should be its own like mobile app or something. I'd be so down with that, or even like a physical game. That game is just super fun to play. I might skip out on some side quests, but when I see Queen's Blood players, I'll go do that. No problem. But yeah, I mean, this is shaping up to be one of my favorite games ever. I love
it.
That's
awesome.
I love it. And yeah. I still look back at Remake fondly. This isn't a situation where it's like you see Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, and some people say that Breath of the Wild, there's barely any reason to go back and play. I can still say that there is a reason to go back to Remake because the games are so different in a way where it's like one is super linear and the other one is so open.
Yeah.
And I think that really has its charm. It gives them identity, which is what the two Zelda games to me always lacked, was identity. These two have their own identity and it's very telling and it's very good and they both do great things in their own ways. But Rebirth is just so much bigger and so much more to do that I have to give, you know, I think the nod goes to Rebirth. Rebirth is phenomenal. But We'll see what tune I sing when I beat it and I see this ending.
I think it's kind of like the difference. Like if you imagine that Grand Theft Auto was only two games and those two games were 3 and 4.
Yeah.
It'd be like, wow, you know, obviously 4 is much bigger, wider, more drawn out than 3. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're two completely different games.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's not like 4 and 5 that are a lot closer in design and everything else, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, the game is awesome. It's got a really good, it's also got a pretty good menu system, like in terms of like keeping tracks of your missions and the story and everything like that. It keeps a nice log of everything. If you ever put the game down and to pick it back up again, you can just go into the story section and you can just kind of catch up with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how many mini games are there?
Dude, there's got to be over 30.
Oh, what?
At the Golden Saucer.
That's crazy.
There's like...
Well, it kind of doesn't count, right? Because you only play those games at the Golden Saucer, right? Or do some towns have their own games that are unique to that town?
Yeah. The most mini games is a Golden Saucer, which is a given. You kind of expect that. But then Costa del Sol also had its fair share of mini games that I was surprised at. I was like, damn, it's like a mini Gold Saucer over here.
Right.
But those two are like, those are fine. But what I'm talking about is like, all of a sudden, it's like the mini games that like, why is it a mini game? Like,
right.
There's this one part. It's not much of a spoiler, but you go to, in one of the regions, you're doing these, you have to find these three things in the region, right? But every time you find it, you got to play this game where there's like a robot, then you got to like, it's almost like tower defense. And I hate, that's probably the worst one to me. I can't stand it. I think I just suck ass at it. But it's like, why? Why do I have to play this robot mini game to claim this stupid tower over here? And I'm going to have to do it three times. Like, that is right. The kind of shit that I'm like, okay, this is not needed, man. Like, you don't even play this at the Gold Saucer. It's not like it came back and it was important.
That's funny.
But it's so fleshed out that it's like its own thing. It's like, holy crap.
A tower defense game.
It's kind of like a tower defense game, yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think besides the mini games, everything has been super solid and I'm very happy with it so far.
It is cool to be able to see all the players on the world map. Like, I think that's such badassery.
Dude, I think about that. Like, how much is this power, like the power that PlayStation is running, like to show all these people? And,
yeah.
then you get more characters later on. It's like they also show and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah. There's nothing like looking like a badass on a chocobo. And then I'm like, where's Tifa and Barret? And I turn around and they're right there. They're like hanging back because they're not part of my trio at that moment, right? Yeah. So they're hanging back a little bit. I'm like, that's freaking awesome.
How do you feel about Red 13 riding a chocobo?
I don't know. It's wild, right?
It looks so funny.
I like how when they get to the inn, Red 13's got his own bed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a human bed. Yeah. It's like, what? I guess we're doing this.
Kicks Barret off. He sleeps on the fucking chair.
That's tremendous. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so that's... Those are our thoughts so far on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Maybe by next week or by next show, I'll have this beat. I anticipate it. I'm right. I should be right at the end, man. Damn it. Like,
yeah.
I got this door. I saved right at this door I'm supposed to go through. And like, I'm like, okay, this seems like bad news at the other end of this door.
You can let us know about the final battle.
Yes, sir. Without spoilers. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to episode 84 of the podcast Fresh Cafe. I was Ryan Mello, and he was Chris Torres. But before we go, Chris, throw out the plugs.
Yeah, we're at Podcast Fresh on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You can also send us an email at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. You can also join us on X at Podcast Fresh TO. I think that's it, Pac-Man. That's it for the plugs. What else you got plugging?
Yep. New song actually comes out tomorrow that I literally just forgot about till now. Probably out by the time you hear this. It's called Ganja, and it's about what you'd expect. And there's that, and of course the YouTube's up and running, so check out the YouTube. And I believe we have a Fresh Prince on the way, so that'll be out soon. Fun stuff happening over at Podcast Fresh.
Not fun stuff.
Fun stuff. We got our own Golden Saucer over here. You know?
What?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, thank you guys for downloading. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye. Podcast Fresh.